Welcome in episode 131 of the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee. We're brought to you by FullPressCoverage.com. Check us out on the Full Press Coverage app as well as Spotify, Podbean, and any other major podcasting platform. You can catch me on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. All right, got a very special guest on the show this week. First time appearing on the podcast, former colleague of mine at Deadspin, my man Sean, the great Sean Beckwith. Sean, what's cracking, brother? How you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
You know, chilling. I mean, I'm glad to finally get you on here. Talk some hoops. You know, this is something we've done for the last couple of years, pretty much on a daily basis. Now it's just going to be recorded. That's all, you know.
Yeah.
Not too much difference there, right?
For sure. Glad to be here.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. So we talked, obviously we were texting the other day, a couple of days ago, talking about Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid, he made his return recently. Personally, I was kind of surprised that he came back, because we both talked about because it was a meniscus injury that he had, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, those can be tricky sometimes. Sometimes those can take, you know, a few months before you're really ready to come back. Now, did you watch most of that game or all of it?
I watched a decent amount. I caught the end for sure when Embiid was just killed over, more or less. Yeah. But I mean, he looked like himself. He was just super tired. You kind of wonder how the conditioning is going to go.
Exactly.
Coming back from this, because he's never been known to be in good conditioning anyway. So.
Yeah, Do you think it's possible that he's back too soon? Because personally, I thought we wouldn't see him into the playoffs. If he came back at all, I'm like, okay, it's not going to be into the playoffs. I'm kind of surprised that even with a few games left in the regular season that he's back on the court. I mean, do you feel like there's a possibility that he's back too soon? And if so, you know, how do you think that's going to affect them moving forward?
I think he has to come back right now, honestly. He can't come back any later if he wants to play in the playoffs. So, and that's what he wants to do. So, I mean, he's coming back. As far as the injury goes, meniscuses are just different. I mean, there's different surgeries for each. There's different approaches to treat them. And Joel Embiid's never been a durable guy anyway. Yeah. But if you're going to get him back, you got to get him back now. At least get him, you know, 5, 6, 7 games in before he starts playing playoff minutes. But I think he's back. I wrote that they shouldn't come back. I think he's back too soon. Yeah. But I feel like he's the kind of guy who doesn't want to. If he has the opportunity, he's going to take it.
Yeah,
I feel like he listens to a lot of people.
When you say listens to a lot of people, like the wrong people or just everybody?
I feel like he's very aware of his perception to people. And if he doesn't come back from injury, then the perception is going to be, I'm not healthy. He can't be healthy. When is he ever going to be healthy? And now I think he's just like, you know, I have to do it this year. It's an opportunity. And I mean, the East to me is wide open. I mean, you don't think they want to play Boston, but other than that, I think you could play any of those teams. I was looking at the standings after Boston. Like, you can talk me into any of these teams beating anybody, honestly.
Really? So before I go there, so with Embiid, they're in eighth place right now as far as the East go. They're in eighth right now in the East for the, you know, obviously that's the play in. Now they would play Miami in that first game. If it stays like this, they'd play Miami in that first play in game. What are the odds of them actually coming out of that beating Miami in that first game? And then they go on, they would probably play Milwaukee most likely in that, the 2-7. How much of a shot do you give them at beating, with all the issues Milwaukee has had this season? Like, how good of a shot do you see, or do you give the Sixers at beating Milwaukee? Should they get out of that first playing game? How big of a shot do you give them at Milwaukee in the first round?
I think it's a fair shot.
Really? Even with Embiid just coming back from this injury?
I think it's a fair shot. If you just look at the matchup, Embiid and Giannis, they might not cancel each other out, but I fully expect them to have kind of dueling stats.
Yeah.
And then you look at just kind of Maxey versus Dame.
Okay.
Who's been more consistent this year? Who are you going to take? It's been Maxey's been more consistent. You know I love Damian Lillard.
I know you do. I know you do. The Portland Trailblazers.
But I just Tyrese Maxey, and he's been asked to carry the load without Embiid for the past month or so.
Yeah,
I feel like he would relish the opportunity to go against that backcourt, whether it be Dame or Beasley.
Hmm. So you're actually giving. See, I just think because it would be so close to him coming back, and obviously we saw that first game with the conditioning, and like you alluded to, he's never been known for his conditioning in the first place. Embiid, I think this is like personally, even with all the issues that we've seen all season, right down to the bringing in Doc Rivers, which he has helped the defense. The defense has gotten better in Milwaukee since I guess over the last few weeks now, month or so, with Doc there, longer than a month that he's been there, but over this past month or so, the defense has gotten a little bit better. But even with all the issues that Milwaukee has had, I just don't see any way that the Sixers are going to beat them, especially with Embiid just getting back. You know what I mean? I can see if he had maybe 3-4 weeks before the matchup, a good amount of games under his belt, but he's going to be going on less than 10 games back. You know what I mean? By the time they actually get into that first round, if they get there, if it is Milwaukee, even if they play Milwaukee, like it'll be, somewhere around a little bit less than 10 games, probably, that he'll have been back. So I could see them taking a game, maybe two, but I don't think they're going to push them to seven. I'm not giving them a shot to win that series by any means.
Yeah, if Philly loses to Miami, Joel Embiid should just go home because they're not going to be Boston. However,
so you think Boston is just out of the picture then?
The way I look at it right now, the reason why I'm like Milwaukee and Philly, it's kind of a puncher's chance is because Milwaukee wants to play slow.
Okay,
they don't want to run at you.
Yeah. And,
like that's what Philly wants. So Philly wants Joel Embiid to be able to walk up the court, up and down the court, and not have to worry about chasing people or chasing people over screens. I mean, I'm sure they'll put him in a ton of action, but
yeah,
if it's different because Boston will come at you with different ways. They have different waves. I mean, they're deep, they're healthy. Do they know who they are? I guess. I mean, they might know who they are in the last 2 minutes of the game, per se.
And that's what still bugs me about Boston.
Yeah, for sure.
That bugs the hell out of me.
But as far as like Milwaukee, I still don't know if Milwaukee knows who they are. And I think if that's the thing that I know about Philly with Embiid, even look at the past two games he's been back, they've been feeding him like he hasn't really missed a beat, more or less. I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing to be testing that much this early.
Yeah.
But they know who they are with him. So give me a Philly team that knows who they are playing against a slow Milwaukee Bucks team coached by Doc Rivers with a Damian Lillard who hasn't really – like he plays a good game three out of seven. You need 4 out of 7. I'm serious. I love Damian Lillard to death. But I thought he'd be better this year.
Yeah, I did. So, I mean, we talked about that before the season or when the trade happened, like I think a lot of people felt like, okay, this is going to be, it may take him a little bit of time to gel, but I think a lot of people thought it'd be automatic almost, but even though they've won games, it just really hasn't been automatic.
No, it hasn't been automatic. And I think the defensive issues I told you guys that were going to be there are there with Milwaukee as far as like backcourts eat them up. So
yeah.
That's why I'm like Milwaukee versus Boston to me is like that's going to be tough if they want to try and keep check with Boston if they have that in their sights.
Yeah.
But with Lillard, to me, the thing about Lillard with him is, like, you don't have to run plays for Giannis. He's going to get his points. You can run plays for Giannis, and he'll score. He'll average, you know, 30, 30, 32, 33 on 60% shooting. But at the same time, Lillard is not going to kind of get going. I know it's like it's kind of an apologist me saying you need to get Lillard going. But he's the kind of guy, once he gets in a flow, he can work in and out of shooting when he's in the flow. When he's kind of secondary, you're not really running stuff with him. That's when you see him kind of falter, like in the Olympics. He was fine, but he just wasn't dialed in. I think if you get him dialed in, especially in the half court type stuff, then everything else will fall into place for everybody else.
So, I mean, let's stay there real quick on Dame and Milwaukee. I mean, why do you think it's taken so long? Really, you just said it. You know, we still don't know. I mean, hell, apparently they don't know who they are, right? So why is it taking so long for them to figure that out with, you know, you bring in another star, a big time star like Dame, and, you know, we think it's just gonna maybe not click right away, but, you know, I thought maybe by January we would kind of see everything starting to really gel. And I know they had the issues with Griffin, with the coaching, then they brought in Doc, but even still, we're still kind of, it's like they're still up and down. There's the continuity is not there yet, just overall as a team. Why do you think that's taking so long? Like, pretty much it's taken all season, and it still hasn't really happened to the extent that people feel it should.
I think it's taken long. I think you're right with the coaching issues. I also do think that they just haven't – the thing that we all wanted to see when Giannis and Dame were going to come together is we just want them in a pick and roll all day. That's all we want.
Yeah,
that's all we want from their offense. I mean, seriously, that's like everybody else can go outside and shoot open threes. Like, that's fine. That's all we really want from them. And they've kind of worked on it a little bit. They've kind of done a little bit better. I just think it's really about getting Lillard going and comfortable. I think that really has to start with him. Like, just put the ball in his hands. Yeah. I watch him at Portland forever. When guys are hot, he will feed them. I mean, Giannis is hot all the time, but just like let him dictate more, and then you'll see him be able to manage his shooting and his hot streaks better, as opposed to just kind of like. I also think it's another issue is this: they don't really know how to play with other 1A, 1B stars.
Okay,
it's always been Giannis' team. It's always been Dame's team.
Yeah,
Dame played. He kind of deferred to LaMarcus a little bit, and. In the early days, when Aldridge was still there.
And, I mean, Dame was young then, too. So, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of expected him, I guess, at that point to kind of defer. So, yeah. But after being – I mean, he's – after that, he was the main guy for, what, 8, 9 years?
Yeah. You – I hate to say enabled, but, like, he was encouraged to take over and take all the shots and mm-hmm. run the team as he wished. And obviously led to – you know, playoff appearances, not so much playoff success.
Yeah.
But I mean, just let him go in there and kind of be the primary ball handler and just let him cook and let other guys go in and it'll be fine. However, I don't know. I also don't know if Doc is the guy to the creative offensive coach that they need to do that.
Oh man. You already know. Don't get me started on that guy. So, don't get me started on Doc. God.
Yeah, I mean the Doc hire when they let go of Griffin and I heard it was going to be Doc, I knew immediately that you were going to hire. I know these sorts like source and good sources, but of course they're immediately going to go midseason Doc Rivers, the most vanilla hire you can go with as far as I have championship talent and let's see, you know, let's win 55 games and then. Blow a 3-1 lead in the playoffs. I mean that's what the formula. So
that is the Doc Rivers formula. We're gonna win 50 plus games.
And honestly, whoever they get in the first round, whether it's Miami or Philly, it's not gonna be fun for them.
for Milwaukee?
No, it's not going to be fun for them.
No. And I mean, personally, I think if they get Miami, they can almost wrap it up. Talking about Milwaukee and just go home. I think Miami's pretty much fairly healthy right now, right?
They're more or less healthy.
So I mean, I like Miami over them. Now I could be wrong, but I think even if Milwaukee wins, it'll probably go seven. Like I don't think they're gonna go in there and just blow the brakes off of Miami. Nothing like 4 or 5 games. Nothing like that.
Yeah, and also like we're talking about matchups too. Like I was alluding to earlier, Indiana. They don't want Mullins. Definitely does not want to see them in the first round. Indiana has boat raced Milwaukee. I think 4 out of 5 times this year they beat them in the midseason conference.
That's right. Yeah, the tournament
and whatever. I mean, they whatever it is.
The other tournament.
And they hung like 140, 150 on them a couple times. I mean, yeah. Indiana has given Milwaukee fits because Milwaukee can't defend on the perimeter. So,
I mean,
I think anything Milwaukee does, even and say Indiana stays in the 60 and they upset whoever. I mean, I don't know. It's, I think the Knicks, maybe Orlando. I don't even know who's in the third
right now. So right now, 4, 5, 6, Orlando 4, New York 5, Indiana is 6.
And okay.
And then Miami 7. And then you go on from there.
And the 3 spot?
3, Cleveland. Cleveland's 3. Yeah,
Cleveland, yeah. Indiana could beat Cleveland. Cleveland to me is a toss-up. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know if Cleveland's even worth discussing, unfortunately, but...
You're not a believer in the Cavs, huh? Donovan Mitchell, no?
No, not really. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, we've seen him before in the playoffs.
And poor Donovan.
I mean, and last year, the Cavs got beat by the Knicks, like, what, in 5 yeah. or 6? It wasn't...
I think, yeah.
It wasn't pretty, so...
Yeah.
No, unless Milwaukee somehow gets catches Cleveland in the second round. I don't. None of these first two rounds are going to be good. So I know I've kind of been harping on Milwaukee, but it's gonna be tough for them.
Yeah. No. I agree with you there. How much of a chance do you give at Orlando at making even a mini run? Because I mean, right now they would play the Knicks in the first round. Now I know Randall's out, but the Knicks—he's out for the rest of the year, right? I think they announced that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So, but they're still. Knicks are still a pretty good team. I mean, with Brunson leading the way over there, they're still a pretty good team. Any shot of Orlando getting out of the first round at least?
I could see that. The Knicks are beat up beyond yeah. just Randall. I believe OG is banged up.
That's right, OG, yeah.
If he's coming back at all.
It sounds like he might, though. It sounds like he might be able to go. Now, I don't know how healthy he'll be if he does, but it sounds like he might. But I don't.
I know Robinson got hurt too on his way back recently as well. Orlando to me is it's a toss up for me with Orlando. They could give the Knicks a series. They could also lose pretty quickly. They're just so young. You know, we don't know anything about Orlando.
Yeah,
as far as the playoffs go, and like we know that the Knicks kind of the Knicks again know who they are. You know. Like,
yeah,
they know Jalen Brunson. They're gonna do Jalen Brunson. It's gonna be more Jalen Brunson than be Jalen Brunson again, which is fine. In Orlando, it's Banchero, and if he's gone, but Franz has been really like not great shooting this year. Suggs has been nice.
Yeah,
how Orlando they also like started hot and they had a big dip during the middle of the season. So
they did. Yeah. Yeah. Cause they were up towards first place in the early part of the season. Now it was real early, obviously, but they were up there.
Yeah.
At least the first, month or two, maybe in the season, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So
they started real hot, but
yeah. And I feel like you know, you just alluded to it. You said Orlando's a young team that we don't know a lot about. I feel like they are, the opposite of, you know, one of the youngest teams in the West, which is OKC. But it feels like we know a lot about OKC. We know who they have, who they're going to go to in certain situations. but I don't feel the same way about Orlando. You know what I mean? Like you named a couple players, but the rest of that team is almost nondescript in a way, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, Cole Anthony off the bench. He likes to shoot a lot, which is fine. But like
likes to shoot a lot.
So I guess they know what they're going to get out of Cole Anthony. He's going to shoot. But other than that, I said Franz is super hot or cold. And then Banchero is so young that I think it would be his first playoffs. So you're just kind of like just going with what you get, you know, like get him out there, get him some run and hope he plays well.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm not generally a believer in really young teams making like long run, like, you know, deep runs, because we just don't, it doesn't happen often. Like, and especially when it comes to, you know, either making it to or winning the finals, you don't, you know, I know some people that are actually okay, you know, OKC Thunder fans, and they're talking about these deep runs. I'm like, you do realize that young teams don't generally win. Like young teams that are like, you know, their average age is like 25 or 26. Those teams don't generally win championships. You know what I mean? Like they may make a run every now and then, like OKC back in the day with Durant, Harden, Westbrook. They were a young team for the most part. They made a run to the finals, but they lost.
Those are also like three MVPs. So
three future MVPs. And that's kind of an anomaly. You don't see that often where these really young teams with a lot of guys that are, you know, within their first 3, 4, 5 years in the league, they don't make really long, you know, deep runs all the time. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. With OKC, it's out West. It's just kind of a matchup thing, you know?
Yeah.
And like it looks like they'll probably end up getting.
Well, they're three right now, but they're only a game back of Denver and Minnesota. So,
and like, if I could see OKC playing, like if they get Phoenix,
right now they would get Phoenix if the season ends.
I could see them beating Phoenix because Phoenix is kind of old. Honestly, we talk about teams who don't know themselves and they also don't really play defense. Beal has played a few, like he's been around for a few games, but we haven't seen Phoenix go on like a scorched earth run as their big three would lead you to believe they should go on, you know?
With Phoenix, let me ask you this first about Phoenix. How much time do you think they're going to give this thing to work as far as this big three, I guess you want to call it Beal, Durant, and Booker. Like, how long do you think they're going to give that to actually? I don't know if they have a lot of time, honestly, to let that unfold and work.
To me, they're on like the similar schedule that they were on when they got Chris Paul, which is we're going to have Durant and we're going to try to contend as long as Durant is who Durant is. And that's so as, and they have to more or less, they've committed to Beal.
Yeah,
way too much, and so like they're coming to these three guys, which is fine. So it'll go as long as Durant is healthy, more or less, to me.
Okay.
I would like Phoenix to be better. I would like to believe in them more.
Just because, but it's hard to.
We know Booker's a dog. We know Durant's a dog.
Yeah.
And I just want that team around them to be kind of be better. Unless they start playing defense,
the thing for me with Phoenix, it's a few things. Like you said, the defense, that, you know, but then also you talked about depth, which they don't have a ton of depth, but I think also not having an actual real point guard with all these scores to actually set guys up, I think that hurts them too. Even if you want to have, you mean, you can have Booker play, you know, with the ball in his hand, or Beal. But we all know Booker is better when he's actually, if he has the ball, he's attacking, he's scoring, not trying to set other guys up or get other guys in position. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion on them. I just think it's too many. Well, not too many. You can never have too many scores, but I think it's good to have that true point guard. You know, doesn't have to be to Chris Paul's caliber, but, you know, somebody out there that's going to wrangle and slow things down and get you calm when things aren't really going your way a lot of, sometimes.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't even really have to be a point guard. It could be like a Draymond Green type guy. It doesn't really matter.
point guard, point four, someone that can do that though.
Yeah, someone who they put the ball in his hands and kind of let him facilitate, which I do think they need. But I don't think scoring is their issue. I think their issue is their front court rotation centers. It's Portland's front court last year. It's Nurkic and Eubanks, and
that's part of it.
And none of those guys are like starting caliber NBA centers. I love Nurk to death, but he can't defend anybody anymore. And
yeah,
Eubanks is a guy that they kind of just snatch up, you know, off the garbage heap, and he's just kind of a token big man. You can kind of get those minutes from anybody. So
yeah, and it's kind of crazy to say, because it wasn't that long ago where Nurk was, you know, like a legit starting center in the league.
Yeah, I was watching that game last night, Cleveland versus Phoenix. Mm. And they had like Bol Bol's out there running around. Like Bol Bol doesn't get minutes for anybody else. Bol Bol is like one of those guys who's just, he's kind of a novelty. If he's starting, if he's getting minutes for your team, you're probably really searching for depth. So,
which I think is, I mean, because it, to me, it feels like for years now we've heard so much about Bol Bol and what he might be able to be if he got the opportunity, but it's just like he just doesn't get minutes. Is he just not that good? I mean, he plays all right sometimes. Like I see him get in, he plays all right in spurts, but is he just not an extended minute kind of guy?
No, I don't think he's an extended minute kind of guy. I think the production kind of shown you that. So
yeah,
that's why I think Phoenix is, I think Torrey Craig's on the team. So it's just it's really hard for me to. That's why I think OKC. Say they get Phoenix and they beat Phoenix, and then in the second round, you know, again, who knows? Say the Nuggets. Let's give the Nuggets the one seed. Just
yeah, I think deferring
to Jokic. They're tied right now. He's the best player in the league. They'll probably get it. So if we get a 2-3 matchup, OKC versus Minnesota, oof. Like you didn't tell me that OKC couldn't beat Minnesota.
Oh, they definitely could. I mean, especially with Cat out. Cat's not even playing, so yeah, they probably will.
So for those OKC fans who are looking at a deepest run, I could see them doing a conference finals run. I think they'd beat whoever they meet in the conference finals? Probably not.
Not Denver. I think
Denver will get there. Denver, like, what do they have to play? The corpse of.
Dallas and the Clippers are 4-5 right now. Clippers and Mavs are 4-5. So,
well, yeah, and in that final spot, it's Lakers versus Warriors right now, I believe. And
It is 9-10, the play-in matchup. Yeah.
So like Denver, whoever they're going to get is going to be a patsy, you know, in that first round. So I like Denver again, and I also think that they, as you said, like the. OKC, maybe if the matchups fall right, if they get Minnesota,
yeah,
Cat, that's fine with me. I mean, I love Ant to death, but him versus SGA is like that's a push to me. SGA is, again, as we keep talking about these teams that know each other, know themselves, yeah, for sure. We know what SGA is going to give you. He's been in the league long enough to know that. He's been more consistent, maybe not as like headline, you know, dunk craziness as Ant, but he's been maybe more consistent than Ant past couple of years. So it's just a matter of whether or not the Thunder really were trying to win last year. And we know that the Thunder really tried to win because they're trying to whatever. But now they are, and so
yeah. No, I looking at Ant and SGA, like you said, those two in a series is kind of a wash. They're both going to do what they do. But then when you look from there with no Cat in the in the lineup for Minnesota, your next best player is Rudy Gobert. And we've seen over the years in the postseason what happens to him, because he's really only going to give, you know, he'll give you 13, 14 points, but you know, in a playoff series, you need your second best player to score more than that. You especially against a team like OKC. They got some guys that can fill it up. So you're going to need more than that. He's not a guy really that's going to give you 20 a night, not in a playoff series. Because for one, defensively, he's probably going to get in some foul trouble. So, and we've seen this going back to Utah where it's hard to keep him on the court, even especially late in games for whoever he's playing for, just because teams get him on the perimeter, get him in the pick and roll, he gets in trouble and he's not as effective anymore. So it's going to be hard at this point. Like you just said, it's hard to see Minnesota making a deep run, especially if they're going to face OKC in the second round. It just really is.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough for Minnesota unless Cat like pulls a Embiid and comes back miraculously. And
but it doesn't feel like that's happening though.
No, I don't think so either. And I also think that Cat doesn't really care whether not what people think.
You said like, he don't care. Do you think he knows that he's basically on the way out? I feel like he's gonna be traded soon. I just do.
I don't know. He's. Like the way they play, he's been good this year. Like this,
no, he's been very good. I'm not saying
he's the reason why they're you know tied for the one seed. He's one of the reasons, obviously, and the primary one. But like he really came along. So I don't know. I don't think he'll be traded anytime soon. Just because Minnesota to me feels like a franchise that will hold on a year too long before a year too soon. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And they've already been kind of holding on too long to Cat anyway, so it doesn't really. They're not. I don't think they'll stop now. I mean, why would they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Minnesota fans a couple months ago were on me because you know of something I wrote about them. Honestly, I wasn't a big believer in them even with Cat to make a deep run. Like I didn't even see them making it to the conference finals even with him. No. I love everything about. I love Anthony. I love Ant. But the rest of, you know, Cat, he's a good player, but I just think he should be so much better. He should be held in much higher regard, in my opinion, because, you know, just because of his skill set and everything he can do, but he's not for whatever reason. And then obviously Rudy Gobert, he's Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. Like he turns into that guy that you just can't depend on. Regular season, he's phenomenal. It seems like he wins Defensive Player of the Year every other year, but you get to the postseason and you can't really count on him.
No, with Minnesota, yeah, the Gobert show is just, we know what happens and there's no reason to even really like kind of trust them. As you said, I didn't really trust them even with Cat. I just don't trust Cat in general, which is kind of why you probably asked me if he should be traded or when he'll be traded or however.
Yeah.
However, I just don't. To me, he's not a serious guy until I see him do it. If that makes sense. I take Anthony Edwards very seriously.
I do too.
But no, I'm not with Cat, and we know not to take Gobert seriously. So. I mean, and like they might end up with Sacramento or New Orleans in the first round, which is a bunch of like fast up and down guy teams that they'll kind of run Rudy Gobert off the floor. So
yeah,
it's gonna be tough for Minnesota. That's why I think it's Denver, and then out east. I mean, Miami, Boston. I think it's Miami, Boston, like on another collision course.
You think so?
I just think that I just trust Miami. I don't trust Boston. To me, the issue with Boston is we know how they lose. Yeah. It's close, tight games when they play this kind of back and forth game with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and it's just kind of trading back and forth. There's no Denver, like, you know, we're going to run a two-man game and we're going to get a good shot regardless.
Yeah.
Brown and Tatum, they can get any shot they want. Doesn't make it as a good shot, but they can get any kind of step, step back, pull up, whatever they want, anytime they want. And I guess my other issue with Boston is right now, it seems like Brown is playing better than Tatum, which is a good thing because they need Brown to go far. If I'm Boston, I want Tatum to be peaking like right now.
Yeah.
I want Tatum to be just locked in, just ready to go. And he's very good, but like this would have been the year for him to give the MVP run like a serious shot, you know.
Tatum?
I know they have a ton of guys and they have a ton of talent, and so they don't need him to score 35, whatever. But this seemed like the year where we would get just countless kind of Jason Tatum in the clutch MVP type moments.
And well, I actually picked him to win MVP, you know, I guess at the start of the season on here, I picked him to win MVP. Obviously I was wrong because he's not going to win it. I mean, I think he's like in fourth or fifth place right now among the top five. He's in the top five, but you know, obviously Luka and Joker are ahead of him. And then SGA is, I believe, third. So, you know, those are like the top three guys. Tatum is either fourth or fifth. I can't remember, but he's not going to win it. I thought he might. And part of it was because I figured Boston was going to either, you know, be the one or two seed for sure. And obviously, they're the number one seed by like 13 games.
Yeah, they're the only 60-game winner in the league.
Yeah, they're going to be the only team that wins 60 games this year. But he hasn't done his part as far as, I guess, keeping pace with the other guys and what they're doing, like Joker and, you know, because, I mean, Joker, I know. Now, despite what Luka's done this year, I mean, he's been phenomenal. If the Nuggets end with the number one seed again, Joker might just win it again.
I think he will win it.
I just win it again.
I think with Tatum though, as I said, there's too much talent on that team. They don't need him to do Luka type stuff. No. Dallas needs Luka to do Luka type stuff.
That's true. That's true. They're not nearly as deep. Not nearly. I mean, even with Kyrie, they're not nearly as deep as Boston.
No. So I think Boston. I just want. You know, I guess I just want to see Boston do it. I want to see them play Miami in a series, and I want to see them handle Miami like a team that won 60 games versus what Miami is, which is a team that's like flirting with a play-in.
Yeah, a team that, you know, at this point, they're not going to win. I don't think they're going to. Are they going to win 50 games? No. Miami, no. Yeah, they're not going to win 50 games. So, I mean, yeah, they're in the play-in. So, but we know what happens when the playoffs roll around, and we've seen it, you know, a couple times in the last 4 years as far as just specifically Boston and Miami. For whatever reason, Miami has had their number in the postseason. And, you know, you talked about Boston in the last 2 minutes. That's the thing that really, I guess, kind of irritates me the most about Boston is their, you know, I guess their clutch, you know, they call it clutch minutes, the last five in a close game. That's where it just seems like they really struggle, especially against Miami. But really, in general, they just struggle. You know, I was watching the game last week. I think it was the second game. I think they played back-to-back against Atlanta.
Lost both,
but then that second game that they believe it went to overtime and Tatum settles for a three with the game tied and there's 6 seconds left. The game's tied. And he just said, like, and you talked about it, you know, they can get him and Brown can get any shot they want anytime. He can pretty much get to the rack, especially against a team like Atlanta. He can get inside against them at any time, but instead he settles for a three. And this is something we've seen for years with Boston now. It's just late game. Like, they just don't know what to do. And it's like, you think they've been here enough times at this point. This is not like these guys are in their first or second year. These dudes have been around 6-7, you know, years now, as far as Brown and Tatum. And they've been in the finals, multiple conference championships or conference finals, but they still just, they struggle in the clutch. In close games, they just struggle to execute. I don't get it. I honestly, Sean, I don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it against Denver too a couple times this year.
Yeah,
in those losses, I just think with them, it's a matter of they don't have a bread and butter two-man game. Like, honestly, it doesn't have to be – you can't really even run a two-man game with Brown and Tatum, let's be honest. Like, they're really going to sit pick and rolls with each other, let the other guy just switch off on each other. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So it has to be a Porzingis type thing, which is fine. But like if they have to live and die on that, and they're gonna have to figure out a kind of two man end of game situation, because Porzingis is a matchup nightmare. I mean, you can get him if you get kind of pick a two man game with him, like, and he's adept enough to play it. So
yeah,
that's where I know that's where Boston fans want them to go late in the game. But it seems like late in the game, the ball stops and it turns into Tatum and Brown like looking at each other and saying, you know, who wants to shoot a pull up 17 footer? Who wants to shoot a three?
Yeah, it's like they get to the late game situation. It's like, all right, who's going to go one on one with these guys? Right? Is it your turn or my turn? That's really what it comes down to.
And it seems, and it's, the thing about those two guys is they're obviously great players.
Yeah.
But you don't, when you see them settling for a three late in the game, that's exactly what the other team wants to do. That's how Miami stays in all these close games. It's like, okay, yep, let's turn Brown and Tatum into jump shooters. And yep, that's kind of how it goes.
And, you know, it's not that they're not good shooters, but in certain situations, especially where they don't necessarily need to take threes, when you're settling like that, it just feels like there's a lot of times, especially in big games and playoff games. We saw it in the finals. We saw it last year in the conference finals. I don't know. It's like they get cold. They get stiff. They get tight, I should say. Both of them. They get tight in those big moments. But then, you know, you settle for these threes. Like you said, that's what Miami wants them to do. That's what whoever they're playing, that's what they want them to do. And they give it right to them. They just all right, yeah, we're just going to settle for threes now. And we're going to go down. We're going to miss these five threes in a row. We're going to allow you to get back in the game. And they do it every time.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, we all know Tatum is a big Kobe Bryant dude. And he wants to shoot these Kobe Bryant type shots and fadeaways and go in the post and, you know, shoot that scenic stuff, which is fine. To me, Tatum is so big. He should play more like LeBron. Just go to the bucket, initiate contact, yeah, get something up on the glass, and go to the line as many times as the refs will allow you to, and you're good.
Why? I mean, I just have to wonder, like, why not? I get it that he's a Kobe guy. That's great. I understand. But you can't be Kobe.
But
why not play to your strengths?
That's what he wants, though. He wants to shoot those Kobe jumpers, and he can hit them.
But sometimes,
dude, you are 6'7". You're as wide as a freaking freight train. Just use those shoulders and get guys out of your way and get to the bucket.
And you know, sometimes when I watch the Celtics and I watch him, like early in games, he'll start off and he'll drive in and he'll get to the bucket. He'll get to the cup so easily. And I'm just wondering, I'll see him do it, you know, maybe two or three times down in like the first quarter of a game. And I'm like, why won't he do this late in games? Why does he settle? Like, I understand sometimes you need a three, but there's a lot of times when they don't need a three. And on top of that, he might take one early in the shot clock. There might be 15 seconds left on the shot clock and they're jacking up a three. And I'm like, why? This game is close. Why are you doing this? Why? I can't get it. I don't want to. And it's not like it's just starting. Like, they've been doing this for a couple coaches now, a few coaches, actually.
Well, yeah, to be fair, I mean, Joe Maz is probably not the guy, and we know why he's in there, because Udoka got ran out. So, yeah. And I think Udoka was the only guy who consistently told Tatum and Brown to be tougher. I think they're still kind of living off that comments that he gave them, which is great. I just think that Joe Maz is kind of a pushover, and he just is fine. An open three is a good shot to him, which is fine. But I just think that to kind of win playoff games, I've been kind of mulling this over recently. Yeah. And it's, we see all these threes, and the thing about threes is that everybody talks about variance because, you know, it's high miss rate. People shoot, teams shoot 35-40%, and like that's great when they shoot those numbers. But how are the playoffs? That hasn't really led to too many like just crazy upsets as far as like the overall finals winner. I was looking at, I think going back to 2012, the finals team has had LeBron or Pete Kawhi or Steph or Jokic or Giannis. Those five guys have like, those are only five players who kind of led their team to a title in the last, since 2012, more or less. So the last 12 years. And if we're looking at that, obviously we know like those Spurs teams were more than just Kawhi, but Kawhi was still the guy guarding LeBron, and he was still kind of an alpha type guy. That's just kind of still how the playoffs work, you know? Like you still need just a freaking alpha who's going to get you tough buckets, or like Curry, who's, I don't even, Curry is almost kind of an outlier, man. He just, like, Curry's going to get you tough buckets, but by his tough buckets, those are 35-footers, whatever.
that he makes look easy.
Yeah, exactly. But the other guys, like LeBron, Jokic, Kawhi, Giannis, we know they're going to live, in the paint and at the stripe in the postseason.
Yeah.
When healthy.
Yeah, exactly, when healthy. But, no, I mean, that's a good stat there. Those five guys, you know, those are the guys that have won as far as the stars or superstars, whatever you want to call them. Those are the guys that have won the champ. They're led their team to championships over, you know, for over a decade now.
Yeah. Like
that, those are the guys there. Guys that can get you those tough buckets. And it just doesn't feel like, as good as Tatum and Brown are, it just doesn't feel like, I don't trust them to undoubtedly get me tough buckets when I need them. I just don't trust them to. They may do it occasionally, but we've seen them fail multiple times now to do it, you know, whether it was in the finals against the Warriors after those first couple games and let the Warriors kind of settle in and you just kind of knew it was a wrap, you know, I guess after game three, you kind of knew it was a wrap for them. And then, you know, a couple times over the past few years against Miami in the conference finals. We just see them like they can't get those tough buckets. While on the other hand, Jimmy Butler can get those tough buckets for them, for Miami, especially against, for whatever reason, against Boston. Now, he can do it against Denver, but against Boston, he's able to get those buckets for whatever reason. He just is. I don't even know how to call that. I know you don't like the Heat culture thing, but
no. I don't really care for it just because Jimmy Butler bothers me. However, he gets tough buckets every year. We know how they know who they are. They know what they're going to do in the playoffs. Yes. I mean, Jimmy Butler, slitting his wrist to get you 45 a night, and So it's going to be that's what we're going to get, which is fine. And I think Boston is going to have to just kind of – Boston needs out – they can't out-jump shot Miami. They got to just bully them. They have to bully them like Miami – like, I mean, that's how Miami got put down in the finals the 2 years they made the finals. Lakers bullied them because they're bigger than them. And the Nuggets did it as well. So,
and I think if it does come – like, or if they do meet Miami – really for the playoffs in general, but if they meet Miami at some point, talking about Boston, they have to allow Porzingis to be a huge factor. They have to. I think they have to pretty much, like, you got to feature him, you know what I mean, against Miami. You got to feature him because of the size, for one, and how versatile he can be. That's just what I think.
I think they have to feature him. I also think that he is the perfect kind of guy. Because when they go five out and he's the biggest guy on the floor for Boston, then it's him versus Bam, and he can actually keep Bam away from the bucket.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you can keep Bam away from the bucket, that just means Tatum and Brown can live at it. So just that's my advice to Boston. Just go be as aggressive in the paint. I know that they shoot a lot of threes as a team and they move, obviously move the ball, but moving the ball also always starts off with dribble penetration. So that's the way they need to do it.
Yeah.
Those two guys got to be as aggressive as possible. And I know that Brown is kind of like he's getting ball handling has gotten better. So this is the time to do it. And he gets in trouble when he's not assertive, you know, going to the bucket as far as dribble drive.
Yeah.
Now that's all he has to do. Dude, just put your head down, get to the bucket, and get the line too.
Now, with all that said, if it's Boston versus the field in the East, who are you taking to get to the finals? Boston versus the field in the East.
I'll take the field.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning to. I just like I said, I mean, it's just hard to trust Boston in those late game situations in the postseason because I'm just going off of history. Like, we've seen it. You know what I mean? Like, they've been on the cusp of becoming a champion really for like 5 years. Multiple conference finals, got to the finals, and it's just they always get there and they pretty much collapse. We've seen this for five, 6 years now. It's just they get there. They can get to the conference finals pretty easily, it usually seems like. And they got to the finals finally, but again, they just collapsed. Now, you can just say the Warriors were the better team at the time. That's fine. But most of the time when they played Miami in the conference finals, the Boston is usually the higher seed, and they've lost to them a couple times. Which, you know, they should be considered the better team. Doesn't always work that way. But so, yeah, it's just hard for me to really trust Boston if you say Boston versus the field. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you give me Boston and Miami plus the field, then yeah, I go Boston Miami all day. But
yeah.
I think Miami just knows how to play Boston, and I also think that Miami is definitely in the heads of Tatum and Brown. So
at this point, you think they are?
They definitely don't want to see the Heat at all. I legitimately think Boston. Well, probably if their path to the finals does not include the Miami Heat, they'll be in the finals.
Okay, I can see that. I can see it. If they can avoid. I mean, so who do you see knocking off Miami though? Let's just say Miami gets through the play-in. Whichever seed you see, we already talked about them in Milwaukee. So I mean. If they got the 7 seed, they wouldn't meet Boston until the conference finals. But who else do you see, if not Boston, who do you see knocking off Miami? Because I know you said the East is very wide open. Let's just be honest. The East is pretty wide open.
I think we're talking kind of matchups. I think that Miami-Milwaukee is isn't a great matchup for Miami, I guess, just because they didn't really have anybody to chase Dame around, and Giannis and Bam's kind of butt heads. To me, Miami is one of those teams that's like they are so dead set on big game hunting. I guess Milwaukee's big game hunting, but I know Miami wants Boston, so I feel like.
Probably.
I feel like Miami could get knocked off by one of these random kind of bottom feeders. They get in like a 3-6 matchup and they land New York or Cleveland or some shit.
Yeah.
They could easily lose some of those teams. If Miami's not in the team's head, they could definitely lose to them. That's my thing. But so I guess Miami, they could lose to, as I said, they could lose to New York or Orlando or somebody like that. I legitimately feel like that just because I don't know, Miami is they have to be kind of hyped for it. I guess they have to be like discernible underdogs in order to get up for things. It feels like
okay. And I guess they usually are against Boston for the most part.
And Milwaukee last year, too. So I don't know. Maybe I just resend that Milwaukee-Miami matchup piece because I feel like Jimmy Butler feels slighted that Portland didn't ship Dame to South Beach, so
that's true. That's, I mean, that's not really Milwaukee's fault, but I get what you're saying. I see his logic. He wants to prove that, yeah, you should have been here, not there. But I mean, to be fair, Dame wanted to go to Miami.
Yeah, for sure.
He wanted to go there.
For sure. So yeah, I just feel like Miami's big game hunter. So I think Miami, I think a lower squad could kind of catch them.
Yeah.
Because Miami's like, Jimmy Butler doesn't get up to out of bed to be
Orlando.
He got bed to beat Cleveland. I mean, he might get a bed, to beat the Knicks because it's, you know, it's the Knicks Heat.
However. Exactly.
Other than that.
So basically, if it ain't Milwaukee, Boston, or New York, the Heat might be in trouble.
Just because Miami, Jimmy Butler has to be motivated.
You know what? That's true. It does feel like he needs to be, and obviously, as he goes, they go. You know what I mean? Like as Jimmy goes, they definitely go. So if he's not motivated, i.e., you know, big game hunting, like you mentioned there, Milwaukee, Boston, New York as well, just because that's New York and that's the Heat. We know that rivalry going back to the 90s. We get all that, but you know. The Cavs, the Magic, even the Pacers, I guess, to an extent. Like, I can see him not really getting up for all, you know, 6-7 games, whatever that series would go. And that would hurt them. If he's not up, if he just doesn't get up for those games because it's like, all right, it's just this team, right?
Yeah.
That's going to hurt them. Yeah. I feel like that's going to hurt them.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. So we talked East, talked West. Before I get you out of here, I want to ask you about LeBron. So, obviously, this is what, year 21 for LeBron, right?
Something like that.
21, 22. I mean, it might as well be 40, year 40 at this point, whatever. He recently talked about the R word, retirement, and, you know, almost, you know, we don't hear him talk about this often, right? LeBron. We talk about it. Everybody talks about it, but we don't necessarily hear him commenting on it. And he said something to the effect of, you know, not knowing when, but, you know, he knows it's around the corner. It's on the way. I want to ask you this. How close do you think we are to actually seeing the end of LeBron James?
It's been so hard for him to walk away. I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's got two more years. I could probably guarantee two more years. I think he really thought that the Bronny thing was going to like happen. I think that he was like, I'm just going to will this into existence, which may not happen. It seems like Bronny like might just transfer, you know?
Oh
like,
yeah. I saw that.
So, which is like, and not to the NBA, he's not transferring to the NBA. He's transferring to
Penn State or something. He's transferring to another school. But I mean, realistically, do you really, come on. Do you think Bronny's ready for the NBA right now? I don't personally. I don't think he's ready.
I think LeBron's kind of figuring that out. He's also figuring out that his dreams and his son's dreams might not be aligned as he thought they were. It is so hard to make the NBA. It is so hard.
And I know even if
your dad's LeBron James and like he, you know, he can get a 10-day, you know, like get undrafted free agent deal, sure, that's fine.
Yeah,
and that's what it's gonna have to be. So unless Bronny's coming out and gonna be an undrafted free agent and sit on some team's bench and watches his dad get like a retirement ceremony, I don't know. I think that's that kind of like LeBron's. I know he wants to get another ring, but I think motivation other than that, he has all the records.
Yeah.
It's kind of playing with his son. It's those kind of sentimental type record like marks and things like that. I mean, this year he scored like 40,000 points. He didn't really break a record. It was just LeBron for 40,000 points. And right. Now we're celebrating him scoring 40,000 points, which is fine. But
he's just trying to set him so far out that nobody ever touches him, basically.
No, it'll be so long. It might be, I mean, Luka. We'll see how long Luka plays. But, yeah, I think LeBron. I, honestly, The thing is, like, he can't really title chase with anybody anymore because he's going to be a Laker for life, and thus Anthony Davis is going to be there as long as he's there. As long as Anthony Davis is there, I don't know if they're going to ever, like, truly contend again, which is fine. I mean, they're 8-1 the last 9 maybe games. Yeah. So I could definitely see them making another run to, unless they meet Denver in the first round. I can see them making make another run out west, just because, as we talked about it, it's LeBron. It's, you know, it's a veteran team. They went to the conference finals last year, so that wouldn't surprise me. And LeBron seems like he's healthy-ish. He's, you know, as healthy as he's going to be. You know, so
go ahead.
And as far as him retiring goes, I think that I think he'll play 2 more years guaranteed after that. Who knows? I also think he's absolutely 100% the kind of guy who will announce that he's going to retire and will want the retirement, you know, parade or whatever you want. Like, not gonna go out like Nick Saban did this last year, which is the only thing Nick Saban has ever done. Graciously is bow out without a retirement parade, but
or Tim Duncan, you know, we'll say Tim Duncan because Tim Duncan
too,
a better example.
He just like one day like called in from mid beach. It's like, hey guys, I'm just not coming to work tomorrow.
I'm done. I'm finished. Yeah.
Texted in. We're good.
But no, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, 1,000% that LeBron. We're going to know when he's retiring because he's going to do the whole parade around the league, playing this team for the last time. He's beaten all these teams this many times. We're going to hear all that. We're going to get it all. The whole shebang.
They're going to give him all kinds of crowns and old man. It's going to be insufferable.
Honestly, it's probably going to be, unless you're like just a super LeBron fan, it's going to be sickening probably, honestly. And I don't have anything against LeBron. I think he's a bit much at times, but I think his farewell tour is just going to be sickening. It is going to make us sick to both of us. We're going to be sick to our stomach, Sean. We just are. We know we are.
you tell me you have nothing against LeBron, and then I know that within like 10 games of his retirement tour season, you are going to be losing your mind. And
you already know that. You've been around me long enough to know that. Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Also, he's already openly talking about retirement. So he clearly wants to talk about it. He wants to be asked about it. So like we're gonna hear about it ad nausea. Conversely, I could see like people don't want to talk about Steph retiring. I could see Steph being like, you know what, screw it, I'm done. I could see him retiring quietly just because.
I could see that.
Steph to me seems like the kind of guy who. I don't know. I don't think he wants. I think he knows he's not gonna catch it. He doesn't have more records to chase. He's gonna set his own 3-point records.
So that's a given.
I think no one wants to talk about Steph retiring, but Steph's getting old. He's getting up there. And also the saddest part about this entire podcast is the Warriors and Lakers are gonna be playing for a chance to be the 8 seed. Whoever loses that game is not going to be the playoffs, and that just sucks.
Yeah.
The playoffs are always much more fun when we have the Warriors and Lakers. More so the Warriors and the Lakers for me personally, but still, like having the it's just going to feel weird not to have Steph or LeBron, especially if we don't have Steph or LeBron in the second round this year. That's going to be weird.
Yeah, I mean, but you know. That just points to, you know, what you just talked about. You know, these guys are getting older. You said you see LeBron playing a couple more years. Now, personally, I could see Steph because Steph, I believe he's a few years younger than LeBron. I think he's 34, 35 is Steph. I could see him playing another 4 years, maybe 5, just because he's a shooter and his game is not going to decline as drastically as, you know, some other players that kind of have, I'm not even talking about LeBron, it's me kind of in general, players that lived off of athleticism for most of their career, he's not going to decline like a lot of those guys. You know what I mean? Like Steph, we may see him slow down. His handle may not be what it once was in a couple years, but the shooting never really leaves you. Now, whether or not you can always get open like he used to, you know, that could be debatable in a couple years from now. But I could see Steph playing another 3-4 years, honestly, if he wants to. He doesn't want to play that long, though.
He's 36, and I think he absolutely could. He's 36 now? He's 36, yeah. I think he absolutely could play like 3 to 4 years if he wanted to. I also think that I think he wants to retire as a Warrior.
And
I think he really I think this season has been a lot on him. Just it seems like he's exhausted. Clay is not what he once was. Draymond is getting kicked out of the game, you know, within the first 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
Steph to me is he's got nothing left to prove. He's got 4 titles. He's got his MVP, Finals MVP. You know, I just feel like I could see him just being like, you know what, guys, kind of like I could see him and Kerr just like kind of getting together one day and be like, do you just want to like chill and call us and we can go buy a team together and manage that? Call it. Sure, let's do that. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen. LeBron seems like he's going to be the next, you know, player turn owner, but.
Oh yeah, LeBron's, I think that's like 100%. That's definitely going to happen at some point.
Maybe that's the only way LeBron gets out of the league is if they're like, hey man, like we can't really have you send any more records. We want to have an eventual like someone to make a run at the GOAT. So we'll just give you the Vegas franchise. How about that? Does that work?
Oh, I think he'd be all over that.
We can call it the Las Vegas Kings or however you want to call it.
Oh my God!
There we go. You want to cap it all off? The NBA will gift LeBron a franchise as his retirement gift.
Oh my God! All right, and on that, real quick, we're gonna go here. We've gone over an hour now. It's been great, Sean. I appreciate you coming on. But once LeBron's out, let's go with your scenario. 2 years from now, unless he goes next year and the year after that. Who becomes the face of the league? Because honestly, he's still kind of been the face. Even though he's older, LeBron's still kind of the face of the league, in my opinion. Like, he's the most recognizable. That doesn't mean he's the best player anymore, but he's still a top 10 player, and he's still the most recognizable just as far as everything that goes into that, in my opinion. I still think he's the face. Who takes his place, in your opinion, once he's done for sure?
I'm assuming in this question, Curry is also retired.
I mean, I think it'd be kind of hard for him to take over at 38. You know what I mean? Like,
but still, like, as far as like face of the league, we both know that he'll be shooting 40% from three until he dies. So,
but will they be winning any? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they won't be very good, in my opinion. Not that the Lakers are.
The Lakers haven't been very good, and LeBron's still LeBron. So
that's true. That's true.
Even if the Warriors aren't very good, Steph will still be Steph. So we'll just pretend that Steph is also gone.
Yeah. Let's say he's good.
I'm gonna go. Honestly, I think Luka's gonna. It's not gonna be Jokic because Jokic doesn't want it.
I was gonna say Luka over Jokic, but you're right. Jokic, he wants anything but that. He does not want to be the face of the league.
No, I think Luka. I could see if the Mavs next few years disappoint in the playoffs, which we'll see whether or not they do.
Well, I mean, if they don't, I
could see Luka like kind of getting with his cabal. I mean, like, I'm going to go to a big market and team with a couple guys, and we're going to win a title.
Really?
I think Luka operates like a superstar. I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
When Dallas got him, I thought that Dallas like he would be the next Dirk. I don't know if he is that because because Cuban's not going to be – Cuban's like – he's still involved, but he's not the guy.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see Luka just like getting pissed and being like, fuck it, I'm going to go to blank or trade me to blank. And he can team up with, who knows, Anthony Edwards or maybe him and Wemby get together. It's Wemby. I'm an idiot. It's Wemby.
Okay.
It's Wemby or Luka.
Right,
one of those two guys. I mean, Wemby's wild. So yeah, it's Wemby or Luka, and I think Luka's like, in 2 years, Luka's Luka closer to an MVP trophy than Wemby is right now.
Sure, yeah.
So,
but I mean, he's also got like a 5-year head start on him as far as being
so, an NBA. Yeah, so I guess it gets. Give me Luka because I think Luka's going to kind of pull some kind of weird, Michael Corleone like Godfather offer and get himself somewhere like really good. I think Luka operates. I think he's going to kind of sniff out that big picture and think, okay, I'm not doing this anymore in Dallas. We're not treading water. I'm going to go somewhere else, and I'm going to win a title because he's like if you I'm sorry. Don't want to keep you too long.
No, you good.
Last question to you. We've been talking about Boston. If you take Luka and swap him with Tatum right now,
oof.
Boston wins. Boston might not lose a game in the playoffs. I know him and Porzingis never really like saw eye to eye.
Yeah.
Whatever. But if you put Luka on Boston instead of Tatum, that's to me, that team, I have all the late game, I need assurance
and that's exactly where I was going to go with that, because what we talked about really the Celtics in general, but namely Tatum and Brown to an extent, but definitely Tatum since we're talking about the main guy, what he lacks in killer instinct late in late game situations, Luka has that tenfold. Like Luka is a killer. He is a killer in the clutch every time. Like, if you want a guy you can count on from here to however long you want to put the ball in his hand with a game-winning shot or a game-tying shot, whatever it is, if I got to pick out a – really, I might take Luka almost damn near anybody in the league right now. But if I'm going Luka or Tatum, oh, definitely. I'm taking Luka Doncic every time because we've seen it. He just hasn't had the team around him that Tatum has. That's all. He hasn't had that.
Yeah, and the Mavs have mismanaged that roster around him ever since they brought in Porzingis. I know Porzingis and Luka didn't really do too well. I also feel like Porzingis was still like getting over his injury. I mean, I think it feels like it takes big guys so long to recover from.
Yeah, he was, but they just didn't, like, personality wise, they didn't gel. They just didn't gel.
Yeah, and I feel like honestly, if we talk about teams being mismanaged, like San Antonio right now, that roster on Wemby is really bad. So they need to figure that out.
I think they will. They've got time though. You know what I mean? Like it's year one for him. I think they got some time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I do. Sean, that's going to do it for us, man. I appreciate you coming on. You not on like any social media or anything, are you anymore?
No, I am not. No.
Yeah. You don't do the social media thing. You got tired of it, huh?
If you're good at something, never do it for free. So
what's that?
I said, if you're good at something, never do it for free. So
hey, I get it. It's all good. Hey,
my words reach the internet through a paywall or unless somebody pays me. So there we go.
There you go. Hey, that's what it is right here. So.
Or unless I'm coming on to your podcast.
I appreciate you giving me a deal here. Give me a break, Sean. I appreciate it. But y'all heard him. If you want to get him on social media or you get a hold of his words, you got to pay the man. All right. So that's going to do it for episode 131 of the Courtside Crossover this week. Go ahead and check us out on the Full Press Coverage app, fullpresscoverage.com, Spotify, Podbean, any other major podcast platform you can find. Catch me on Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, I'm a fool. I give it out for free, but catch me on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky @ChrisPartee. I'll check you out soon. Peace.